In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we return to a point very early in Jesus' ministry. This morning, Jesus calls his first disciples. He calls Peter and James and John to forsake everything that they know and to become fishers of men. But it's clear in the gospel that already Peter knows Jesus. There's already a relationship between the two. And if you know a little bit about the gospels, you know that this is no surprise. We know that Jesus and most of his disciples, they are lifelong friends. They grow up together. They share a life in the same fishing villages of Galilee. They probably attended synagogue together. Their families would have worshipped with one another. Most likely, they shared meals in each other's homes. Mary's husband, Joseph, the carpenter, and Zebedee, the fisherman, probably do business together. Joseph, the carpenter, fixes Zebedee's boat, and Zebedee delivers the best of his catch to young Jesus and his mother. It's funny, Jesus only ever takes two fish, right? He says that two fish will be quite enough to feed his family. There's little Jesus, but there's also little James and John, the sons of thunder. Mary, no doubt, knows the twins very well, maybe too well. And James and John, there always seems to be a touch of the Weasley twins. Around them, something is bound to break or to blow up. And how often must Mary have seen the smiles of little Andrew and Peter? Andrew is always the first to the door. Peter's always wet. But at some point, as they grow, these childhood friends recognize in Jesus a source of authority. In the gospel reading this morning, Jesus and Peter do not speak to one another as equals. There is intimacy there, yes, but not equality. Jesus speaks to his fishermen mates and asks them after a hard day's work to lend him, their boats, so that he might push out a little bit from the shore and to teach the people who have gathered to hear him speak. And Jesus, we know, can push them even a little bit further. He can turn to Peter even after all of that and say, "Simon, now launch your boat into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And in response, Peter calls Jesus Master. "Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." To Peter, Jesus is already master. He is the one with authority. He is the one whose word cannot be set aside, even if you are tired, even if you doubt, even if you already have given half of your afternoon and half of your boats to his teaching and to his preaching. And so Peter obeys, and this seems to be his custom with Jesus, to trust, to answer, to be the reliable follower of this rabbi from Nazareth. But in the gospel this morning, Peter undergoes a change, a very profound and important change. Overwhelmed by the great catch of fish, seeing both the authority and now the holiness of Jesus, having his own eyes opened to the great distance between the divine power of Christ and his own sinfulness, Peter no longer addresses Jesus as master, but instead calls him by a new name. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a wicked man, O Lord." This morning, Peter finds that master is not good enough. Because of the great catch, Peter no longer calls Jesus master. Peter now calls him Lord. It is not enough to obey the words of Jesus. Peter now falls down and worships the Holy One now revealed to him. It's a progression that we should notice. This movement, Peter does not begin with worship. He begins with obedience. He doesn't first worship Jesus as Lord and only later obey his commandments as master. It is through his obedience, it's because of his obedience, that Peter in time is able to see that Jesus is the Christ. That his words are the words of life. Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. How many times Peter must have said this to Jesus over the years. Nevertheless, I will do what you say. Peter's faith is first a faith in the words of Jesus, faith in his commandments. Peter does what Jesus asks. And through his daily, tedious obedience, Peter now sees more than an earthly master. Peter no longer only obeys. Peter now worships. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord, says Peter, at the feet of his childhood friend. Our situation so often is the reverse. As Christians, we already know the whole story. We are quick to call Jesus Lord, but we do so without first learning to address him as master. We see him as Savior, but we have not first learned to see him as one with authority. Peter obeys the master and then learns to worship him as Lord. We certainly worship Christ as Lord, but often we skip the obedience part. We want to sing the creed without first obeying the scriptures. We expect that great catch of fish without first obeying the word of the master to do the tedious work that we're not always in the mood to do. We expect to hear Christ say, "Do not be afraid," without first saying to Christ, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." We want the bestowed life of Christ without first having to die and to lie in a tomb. We want to draw the world into our nets, as the apostles do, without first leaving behind our full and prosperous boats when business is at its best, forsaking everything else and following the Word who calls us through his words. For the apostles, the truth about Jesus, the real truth, the full truth about Jesus, is something that only happens over time. They understood later, after the resurrection. But for us, we come to the words of Christ already confessing that he is the Word spoken by the Father from all eternity. We come to the liturgy already knowing that Christ presents himself to the Father as an eternal sacrifice in love for the life of the world. We come to the chalice already proclaiming his death and his resurrection. On a different day, Jesus reminds his disciples that not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord," and I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers." What Christ desires of you and of me is nothing more than what he desires of Peter this morning. This morning, Christ commands Peter to launch his boat into the deep. This is a timeless call. This is our call. The call to all Christians to launch our own lives ever more deeply into the infinite deep of Christ's life. It's a call to obedience. It's a call from the Master who desires to reveal himself as Lord. He is the deep into which we are called. And there is no end to the love, no end to the mercy, no end to the joy and fullness and healing bestowed by Christ on those who are first willing to toil and to obey the word of the Master. "Launch out into the deep waters of my compassion," says the Lord to us this morning. And those who suffer will find that I am there with you, suffering with you. uniting your suffering to my suffering, uniting your cross to my cross, dying with you so that you might no longer fear death. Launch out into the deep waters of my mercy, and you will find that there is nothing, nothing that can separate you from my love. Nothing is too broken, nothing is too dark, nothing is beyond healing. Launch out into the deep waters of my meekness and inherit the world with me. Launch out into the deep waters of my righteousness and learn that I am the truth, that I am the way, I am the life, and in me all things are made new. In my death, a new heaven and a new earth have come into being. Launch out into the deep waters of my peace, the peace which I give to you, the peace which passes all understanding, and learn that my words are the words of life, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, that I have called you and ordained you to be fishers of men, and that I am always with you even to the end of the ages. Brothers and sisters, like the Apostle Peter, we are called forth by Christ to move from the shallow waters of hearing the gospel to the deep waters of trusting the gospel. To move from the shores of merely showing up to the deep sea of forsaking everything else and following the one who calls us by name. We are called to first know Jesus as Master, so that he can truly reveal himself to us as Lord. We are called to put down the shallow vessels of passing pleasure and to receive the cup of salvation. A cup which has no bound and no bottom, a cup which is always offered, never diminished. A cup which overflows. He gives to us a cup this morning which always draws deeply from the living waters of himself. Christ our true God, to whom is due all glory and honor, together with his Father who has no beginning and is all holy, good, and life-creating spirit. Amen.